Shalom, Mishpacha. Shalom, family. Mishpacha is a Hebrew word. It means family. We're the Mishpacha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall of separation has come down to form one new man. Getting ready, Mishpacha, to blow the grandest shofar or the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone everywhere to hear the good news. We want everyone everywhere to be red hot for the Messiah. My guest, Paul Keith Davis, I'm speaking to him by way of telephone at his office in Orange Beach, Alabama. That's right outside of the Mobile area. Paul Keith, I've got a hold of your new book, Angels That Gather, and this came from you said in 2003 in Albany, Oregon, it was like lenses came off of your eyes. What do you mean?
It was an amazing day. Took me by surprise as I was walking into a sanctuary of the church in Albany. And literally, that's exactly what happened. It was as if your eyes are just opened. Another realm was opened up, and with my natural eyes wide open, I was not in a vision or a dream or a trance. I'm walking across the sanctuary, to be honest, and I'm seeing with my natural eyes angels that were, I believe, always in the room. I was just now able to see them. And the Lord said they were a very specific and unique type of an angel, angels that gather. And we found them identified in Matthew chapter 13, primarily verse 41, where it says, the Son of Man will send forth his angels that gather out of his kingdom. So we know that we're in a season of harvest, and this host of heaven has been sent to co-labor with us to bring in this incredible promised harvest.
And what does the harvest mean to you?
I believe the harvest has multiple applications. Certainly, you know, we'll see a harvesting of souls. There will be a wave of evangelism. People that are lost, that don't know the Lord, will certainly come into a revelation and saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus, which is phenomenal in itself. But then the Lord has also been saying to me, though, that there are many things that will be harvested. And I was taken to John chapter 12, where the Lord said, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth, it abides alone, but if it perishes, it brings forth multiplied grains of wheat like the original seed. And the Lord began to show me that even within the context of people that are now presently saved, that we're about to see a level of increase where we will begin to function in this earth as sons of the kingdom. That means we will demonstrate his nature, we'll demonstrate his character, we'll have the level of power, and I think we'll fulfill the promise of what we call the greater works generation. So the Lord is looking to harvest sons of the kingdom, people that are functioning in a level of maturity and power that we probably have not seen. All we have seen so far, and what the Lord showed me was, that all we've had is prototypes. The Mariah Woodworth Edders, the William Branhams, the John G. Lakes, the Catherine Kuhlmans. These are prototypes of a generation that we're about to see raised up. But then we also see there's going to be a harvest of commissions and harvesting. And I think the biblical example of that would be the Saul of Tarsus becoming Paul the Apostle.
I have to ask you a question because I've often pondered that as I've read it in the Bible. Do you believe Stephen felt pain when he was being stoned? I mean, as I read it, he sees Jesus standing up and rooting for him. It seems to me he would have almost transcended pain.
I believe, from what I could tell, and I certainly wouldn't want to make a doctrine of this, it started out in one way but ended in another, if you can follow what I mean. I believe initially there was some measure of awareness that he was, you know, some measure of pain, but I believe in the midst of that he transcended the natural into the spirit because in my vision that I saw, and of course it was, and I'm not trying to say it's anything outside of what the Bible says, but at the end of it, he was so caught up in what he was seeing that he was totally oblivious to the stones that were hitting his body. And in my experience, you know, I had asked the Lord, I was very upset because a 38-year-old friend of mine, a very, very good friend of mine, died. No apparent reason, just fell over in the airport dead. And I said, Lord, I need to understand this. And he took me, I saw this experience, and of course my friend's name was Stephen, oddly enough. And I saw as Stephen was being stoned, and in my experience, Stephen looked up into heaven just like he did in the Bible, and the Lord stood to his feet just like it says in the Bible. But at least in my experience, the Lord As Stephen was perishing and his life was leaving his body, the Lord pointed his finger at the devil and said, "That one's going to cost you." And Stephen, my friend, was taken unjustly. It was a violation of the enemy, just like there was a violation with Stephen was stoned in the book of Acts. And there was such an impact that fell on me that I realized, oh my goodness, you know, there is about to be retribution. Satan crossed the line. He should have never touched that man, Stephen. And Stephen went into the soil as a seed, and the harvest became Paul the Apostle, because I saw that there was an undeniable link between the stoning of Stephen and the reaping of Paul. And the Lord began to teach me about many great saints like Joan of Arc, many of the millions that were butchered and slain throughout the Dark Ages, millions and millions of people that we read about in Fox's Book of Martyrs and Smucker's Glorious Reformation, and we see godly, precious saints of God, their life snuffed out, but the Lord said every drop of blood will be accounted for. And he's going to, they went into the soil like seed. And so part of the harvest is that all of those commissions, all of that anointing that was lost, that the enemy thought he was stealing, will be poured out. That's what I believe the Ancient of Days will do in Daniel chapter 7 when it says the books are opened. What's in the books? Every unrighteous act ever committed against the saints of God. The Bible says in Daniel 7 that the horn of the adversary will wage war with the saints and overpower them until the Ancient of Days renders a verdict in favor of the saints. And I believe that's the harvest.
Well, on yesterday's broadcast, you were talking about Matthew 13, verse 37 to 43, in which there were angels removing the stumbling blocks. And you said that God's been dealing with you in this area. And in fact, you had a vision of three snakes coming into you in this vision from your mother. Explain that.
That was a very unusual experience, I have to admit. And what the Lord showed me was, of course, you know, what David said, in sin did my mother conceive me, and that we were born with a sin nature. And as a result of that, you might want to call them generational curses, whatever all the different terms are, but there are just things resonant in us that are contrary to the nature of God. And even when our spirit has been redeemed, born again, our soul, which consists of our mind, our will, and our emotions, still has issues. And we can see that certainly in Christians today, you know, people that are legitimately born again, but they might still deal with issues of, you know, issues of the flesh, whether it be jealousies or ambition or whatever, lusts. Unfortunately, we're seeing great leaders that have had issues emerging because everything that's hidden is being revealed. And so what the Lord began to deal with me on is some of these fallen issues, and I'll give you an example. I'll be a little transparent here on your radio program, but one of the issues in our family was anger. And so the Lord began to deal with me on the issue of anger, and I was actually angry with my own father. And the Lord took me into a vision, and I saw a future meeting, and I saw the power that was being demonstrated in that meeting, and I said, "Lord, how many years will it take before we're ready to walk in that level of power?" And the Lord said to me, "I didn't just begin preparing you for that." He said, "I started preparing you for the day you were born. And I realized that everything that I had happened in my life, the physical, my dad's in heaven now, and I love him, and I appreciate what God allowed, even though at the time it was very, very, very difficult. But God saw something in the future, and he allowed me to go through that process as a young person, the abuse, the physical things that happened, the beatings that took place. The Lord allowed, although he wept with me, he allowed it because he knew that at some point God would redeem that, and he would use it and sanctify it and make it a source of strength. And in that experience, the Lord said, "The pain of your past is the preparation of your future." And with that revelation, the issue of anger was extracted from my soul.
Speaking of extracting the anger from your soul, you talk about the experience you had with the heavenly operating table.
Right. I think that's where we've been, to be honest with you. I travel all over the nation, and invariably, virtually every meeting we do, people are just completely overwhelmed with feelings of hopelessness. They've been in the wilderness. They've been in severe pruning. People have gone through financial crisis, personal crisis, family crisis. And the encouragement that we have for them is that this has been part of the pruning process. And as I was caught up in this experience, I saw angels literally stripping away layers of flesh, the fleshly nature. And until, in my experience, there was nothing left but a little pulsating orb of light, which I knew was the deposit of God. And then they began to put us back together. But now it was bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And I believe that's a parabolic picture of where we have been, where many saints have had issues of the flesh stripped away. And it's been painful. It's been difficult. I have some friends that have been through severe pruning. One man in particular was a multimillionaire, had millions and millions of dollars. Everything was stripped away, all of his blessings. And it's not because he was in rebellion, but it's because he began to pursue God. And I don't want someone to think that because they're pursuing God that God will take away their finances. It had become a god to him, though. It had become a stumbling block. And because God loved him so much, I believe every bit of that will be restored. But he's gone through a process now, though, where he will be able to handle for the kingdom the level of finances that he wants to give him to use for the harvest. And that's kind of that's an example of the process. And the Lord has been putting his finger on issues of the soul and giving us the grace to yield that to him so that we can actually live before him on a higher plane.
And everyone wants the intimacy with God, but they don't realize there's obstacles that God wants to get rid of because he wants the intimacy more than we want it. That's why I'm so pleased to make available your book, Angels That Gather, because there's an anointing of prophetic access to your inheritance for the end time harvest. All those end time promises. This book is available for a donation of $20, called Angels That Gather. If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521, or call our order-only line, 1-800-548-1918. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-548-1918. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape or CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's S-I-D-R-O-T-H, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. To see our television show, It's Supernatural, or our archives, or subscribe to our radio and TV podcasts, look us up on the web at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org.